Sunday morning praise with Kel. I'm your host, Kel Marvette. I'd like to thank you for joining us this Sunday morning as we praise our Lord and Savior. That was a great song coming from Willie Banks and the Messengers entitled God is Still in Charge. We definitely know that God is definitely still in charge. Before we go into our message today, I'm going to offer a prayer before we go into the broadcast. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Father, let thy will be done on earth as you have it be done in heaven. Father, lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from what you said was sin and evil. For we know, Lord, that thine is the kingdom, and all power and glory is trusted in your hand, Lord, Father. Once more, Lord, again, one Father, we are bowed in praising your name, Lord, Father. Praising you, Lord, Father, for life, health, and strength, Lord, Father. As we pray, Lord, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, Father. Thank you, Lord, Father, for our last night's sleep, Lord, Father. As we summon and step, Lord, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, Father, that the four walls that enclose the home and enclosure that we're in did not fall in no form of destruction. We just want to say thank you, Lord, Father. Thank you, Lord, Father, for the angels that watched over us all night long. And, Lord, Father, bright early this morning, Lord, Father, thank you, Lord, Father, for touching us with a finger of love, Lord, Father, enabling us to open our eyes, Lord, Father, to see a brand new day, Lord, Father. A brand new day, Lord, Father, that we've never seen before, Lord, Father. We just want to say thank you, Lord, Father. Lord, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, Father. We had the activity of all our limbs, Lord, Father, and it was working in a respected manner, Lord, Father. We just want to say thank you, Lord, Father. As we pray, Lord, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, Father, what we was able, Lord, Father, to get up, Lord, Father, and clothe ourselves in a respectful manner, Lord, Father. We just want to say thank you, Lord, Father. We was able, Lord, Father, to go to our table, Lord, Father, and prepare a meal to nourish our bodies, Lord, Father. Lord, Father, knowing someone, Lord, Father, that wasn't able to do this task this morning, or we ask for a blessing upon them also, Lord, Father, as we pray, Lord, Father. As I pray, Lord, Father, I want to look upon the sick and afflicted on hospitals all over this land, Lord, Father. We ask a blessing and a healing upon their bodies, Lord, Father, in your name, Lord, Father. As we pray, Lord, Father, we want to ask, Lord, Father, that you stop by the nursing home, Lord, Father, knowing, Lord, Father, we have some elderly there that need you for one thing, and they may need you for another. We ask that you just stop by and be their need, Lord, Father. As we pray, Lord, Father, we want to travel with us as we travel up and down the dangerous highways, Lord, Father. Knowing, Lord, Father, we don't know what may partake upon these dangerous highways, Lord, Father. We ask that you drive with us and be your armor protection around us, Lord, Father. As we pray, Lord, Father, we ask that you stop by each individual home, Lord, Father, knowing that maybe some situation that someone may be going through, Lord, Father, that need some assistance from you, Lord, Father. We ask that you add a blessing upon them, Lord, Father. And when we travel the last mile of the way on this journey, on this earth, Lord, Father, we ask, Lord, Father, that you give us a home somewhere in your kingdom, Lord, Father. We're not asking for the best seat, Lord, Father, but somewhere in your midst, Lord, Father. These blessings and others we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen again, Lord, Father. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning on the Sunday morning praise. We have a featured minister that going to give us a message this morning. It's coming from featured minister Samson McCormick. We ask that you take this message to heart.
Yeah. And it would take a lot of cleaning up for Hazel. And we have the lovely Mr. Duncan Cronin to give testimony this morning. So please give him a large hand.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How y'all doing?
I love it.
I was here last night for the concert, and I was like, this is great. And then I heard the choir this morning when I came, and I was like, these people got soul. I do want to say I'm happy to be here, and I'm also happy that we're like moving this quickly through the service because I'm of the African American Pentecostal, Southern Pentecostal experience. And somebody over there sounds like they know what that's like. Okay. In the church where I'm from, our church services are so long and we have to take breaks, you know. It's like you come in and after praise and worship, we leave and we work for fish sandwiches, you know, and then we come back for another 3 or 4 hours, and then we work again, and then finally have the sermon and we're out around midnight or 1 in the morning. So I'm happy that we're moving so quickly today. So. Be able to get back before my show come on. You know? I'm so happy to be here, you know. And I was, because I'm actually a performing artist, and, well, I just want to do this too, because I know a lot of us, we come to church, and church is in us. We are the church, and we just come to a building, we assemble together and create the experience. But a lot of us come to this place that brings us together, and we leave feeling like strangers. So look at the person next to you and say, hey, look at him.
Hey.
How are you doing? You gotta say, how you doing? How you doing? Because we come and we leave feeling like strangers, you know. And I was kind of nervous when he asked me to preach because if anybody was just driving me down the street in traffic, bumper to bumper traffic, you wouldn't know I don't belong in a pulpit. I've gotten really good over the years too, so I was really nervous. And I was reminded that God speaks to everybody,
yeah.
You know, because God is in everybody. God is in everything. And this is so wrong. But my spiritual advisor is actually my Aunt Jackie. And the people who were here last night got to know Aunt Jackie very well. And she's true.
Can you look at
Jackie? Oh, yeah, I will gladly hear her. She's in Roanoke, Virginia. We can get her up here. And Aunt Jackie is my spiritual advisor. She's proof that God speaks to everybody, but the spirit that she speaks with isn't the spirit that we're here celebrating today. Her spirit comes out of a bottle. But she still speaks and gets the message across. And if you just hear her, some of the words, she seasons it with some really colorful language, but I still get the message of God. And it was funny because I did not know what to speak about because I do lectures and things like that, but I don't do sermons. You know, I often think that you have to be perfect to do a sermon. When I called her, she was like, and I could tell she was smoking a cigarette. She was a little toasted. And she was like,
oh, see, baby, you got it all wrong. God is in everybody.
And then we had this really long conversation, and she was like,
and you have to learn to just live life because you're going to be dead a long time.
And when you said that, I got the idea of what I needed to talk about. And I was in New York, trying to write at a Starbucks, and that's the worst place to try to write at. And so I just went out to the pier. On the pier, they have a lot of water, beautiful water. And that's when it kind of came to me. I found out I had to laugh at it for a few minutes. But it kind of came to me. So I came up with this, and I'm pretty sure that we'll relate. And hopefully there are some people here who this will touch. Because I know a lot of people come to church. You know, a lot of people come to places like this where you can be yourself looking for healing. And hopefully we can get that today. Amen. So, I'm a product of what some people refer to as the ghetto. And those of us who live there refer to it a little bit more affectionately as the hood. You know what the hood is. Okay? That's the word that makes you hide your purse. You know. Up the block or around the way. And I feel like the affection that we had towards where we live helped to take the sting out of the labels and connotations associated with how we knew that society looked at where we just so happened to live. And we knew that many people didn't view living in the ghetto as a good thing. Many people hear that word and think of a poor section of a city inhabited primarily by people of the same race or socioeconomic background. And many people associate this with violence, poverty, childhood pregnancy, lack of education. And I've had some conversations, some people even associated with fat women with swollen ankles sitting on the front porch, wearing flip-flops, smoking cigarettes, being loud, eating crabs and tuna fish sandwiches, cussing out small animals. Cats, squirrels, puppies, gerbils, kids. And I know one of the good things about the kind of neighborhood that I grew up in is that sometimes it kept me away from people who I didn't really want to be bothered with. You know, every now and then I had some crazy guy who wanted to take me on a date. And I knew that if anything else that I said couldn't get me out of the date, I knew that once I told him what area of the city I live in, he'd go, "You live where?" "Oh, no, I'm not coming over there. Get out, get out." Sometimes we were even denied jobs just because of the address that was placed onto the job application of the jobs that we applied for. The sting and stigma and disenfranchisement was real. But regardless of what people had to say about where we were from, we knew differently. And because of the way that some of us had grown up, our affections toward one another weren't the standard kind words or hugs, back rubs, or kisses. Sometimes they were more simple things, like jumping rope and playing double dutch together. Sitting down and sharing some fish and french fries, or some fried chicken. Sometimes just having a cookout or a backyard barbecue. And I'm not ashamed to say, sometimes just sitting around and laughing and passing a joint. But I did not inhale. You see, many of us weren't always able to recite the inspirational quotes of Langston Hughes or Maya Angelou or Audre Lorde, yet we still found ways to affirm and encourage one another. If you saw somebody looking good, telling them, "You got it going on," you know. Or if you had somebody who was trying to pull you down, you would tell them to just shake the haters off. "I'm going to give y'all a lesson here. By the time y'all leave, all y'all going to have honorary card to the African American community." But my favorite expression was, "Do you, boo?" And this meant many things. For instance, don't worry about what's going on around you. Just focus on yourself. Or, it doesn't matter what anybody has to say about what you like. If you like it, and you know, that's their problem. And as many of us got older and began to strive for better lives, we found that this meant something even greater. To us, being able to take that expression and run with it meant that regardless of what anybody had to say about what way that you had to go or your life should be, you realized that you had the power to achieve whatever goals you strive to achieve. Be the best person you could be, regardless of what anybody had to say, and many of us did. And I'm an example. And with that, I thought to title this encouragement that I'm going to share with you all today, "Do You, Boo?" Pray with you. Dear Lord, Creator, Friend, Mother, Father, we thank you for bringing us into space today. And we know that many of us come here for nourishment.
We come here to get away from a very cold, sometimes cruel world. And we know that us being here right now is no mistake. Allow your light and your love and your grace and your healing power to wrap around us and remind us that we are beings of love, grace, and humility that were put here to reaffirm each other. And we thank you for being here with us today. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to try to do it quickly because, like I said, I love the African American Pentecostal experience. I'm used to seeing people swing around in the chandeliers and drop kick people and circle and clap over the seats and turn people. Like if you're a piece of furniture or a person, you get turned over. So I'm going to try to do this the right way today. We flip out. We go crazy. So I'm going to share this with you today. You have to go the way that your blood needs. If you don't live the only life that you have, you won't live some other life. You won't live any life at all. Let us take a moment to reflect on that quote from what I like to call the Gospel of James Baldwin. He's one of my favorite writers. And ask ourselves, how often do we really live life? How often do we go the way that our blood beats? I feel like many of us have gotten lost in the routine of simply waking up every day, merely existing, and oftentimes trying to live the way that other people say that we should live, whether it be trying to keep up with the Joneses, music, clothing trends, social media, or just living in a certain box. But how many of us are truly experiencing, embracing, and most of all, really taking as many opportunities as we can to appreciate this gift that we've been given called life? When are you finally going to take a moment to do you, boo? How many of us are allowing ourselves to take the time and or learn to finally breathe through our own nostrils, see with our own eyes, speak with our own mouths, think with our own heads, and stand on our own two feet? I feel like because of what we've been taught, and sometimes simply being afraid, we end up going through life on puppet strings or living in a comatose state. We sometimes fail to remember that uniqueness and individuality are the special things that make each and every one of us stand in our true divine originality, because we've been manipulated into wasting our time entertaining and being taught by what we see in film, on television, what we are told by society, our peers, closest relatives, and friends, sometimes even in the church. When they tell us that who we are, what we look like, where we live, or how and who we love are things to regret, loathe, or be ashamed of. And the only thing that I feel like is worse than us hearing these things is that even more often than we hear it, we believe it. But when are you going to take a moment to realize that you've just got to do you, boo? Too many of us have merely existed, ingesting toxic messages and allowing people who shouldn't to have power over our lives because we've been believing that everyone else's opinions about us matter. When in reality, unless it's an opinion that comes from God or over, we shouldn't be taking the opinion. But we hear these things and we live in fear of ourselves, of life, even of one another, and living up to our fullest potential. Isn't it sad to think that we can make decisions to never fully embellish our lives? How many of us are really standing up and taking our lives back, embracing the possibilities of greatness and eliminating the restrictions that have been placed on our freedom? How many of us are shaking free of the chains that have been placed on our minds and hearts, the shackles that prevent us from loving one another, and most of all, ourselves? I think it was Minister RuPaul who I heard say, if you can't love yourself, then how in the hell can you love somebody else?
But again, how can we love ourselves when we become comfortable accepting, becoming a person who isn't authentic to whom it is that we really are? You gotta do you, boo. I think it's funny that we live in a society that critiques authenticity, yet glorifies the travesty that is reality television. And I'm not going to play innocent because I'm guilty of it. Keeping up with the Kardashians. Real Housewives of Atlanta. Honey Boo Boo Jail. Yes, Lord. Some of the most inhumane, nonsensical, brain damaging garbage that you could ever see. And I never miss an episode. But for some reason, it's so good. And as much as I love it, I swear I lose a few brain cells every time I watch it. I'm talking about just get it done. Just walk into the wall and don't feel the pain. And I know I'm not the only one. But have you ever thought about the fact that we live in a society that views this as normal behavior and turns around and judges real human beings? Perhaps we've never taken the time to really look at the condition of the world around us. Maybe the level of instability and craziness has simply evolved and come to a place where, because so much is going on in this fast-paced world, we've once again found a way to normalize foolishness. While we live in fear of the real things, our humanity, our dignity, authenticity, dreams, desires, abilities, and our lives. Do you realize that because what many of us are told as children by our parents, and I know there are some people in here who had parents who told them what they couldn't do, what society tells us now, or what we even begin to tell and trick ourselves into believing, that we really neglect the possibilities of greatness that we can allow God to help us bring into our lives? We live in a society that tells us constantly what we can't make happen in our lives, and we internalize this. All while we live in a day where you can depend on kindergartners to make smarter statements than some politicians.
Yeah.
People are on television and the internet getting famous for the most simple thing. Eating sin. Having bronchitis. Having careers and making millions. And if this is going on, then surely something like age can't keep us from pursuing goals, or where you come from can't affect where you're going, or just you simply being able to stand up and embrace your possibilities and being the person that you've been blessed and made by God to be. One of the most beautiful things that I've learned, and sometimes still have to remind myself of, is that we aren't just products of unions that have occurred between our parents. We're reminded in Psalms 139, verses 13 through 14, as we read earlier, that we were knit together in our mother's womb, and that we should rejoice, for we have been fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
This means that each and every one of us is a divine creation that has been chosen for this moment, right now. And that in itself should assure you that in God there are no failures or mistakes.
Right.
We are fierce.
All right.
And fabulous.
All right.
And have been made to shine as bright beacons of hope, light, and love in this world. Every day we have to remind ourselves of that. When we open our eyes in the morning, while we're brushing our teeth, washing our behind, and getting all dressed up, smiling and looking sexy, that we've got to share that with our brothers and sisters who we encounter in the world. Too many people have been hurt, lived in pain, and fear of themselves and letting the light shine on their face. And I thank God that I'm able to testify that it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what direction that people try to send you in, or what they say about who you are, that God makes no mistake. It doesn't matter that I'm black. When God gave me this brown skin, it was divine order.
Amen.
God put it on me and made it beautiful.
Right.
It doesn't matter that I'm gay. I know that God makes no mistakes.
All right.
I remember growing up in a church where the pastor preached against gay people and said that we were evil and did very bad things. And what hurts me even more is that some of our gay, lesbian, and transgender brothers and sisters allow these seeds of hatred to be planted inside of us. And it grows into self-hatred and fear. And many of us, even sitting in here now, there are some of us who live in fear of ourselves. And not because we should be, but because we've been lied to.
Mm-hmm.
And we lie to ourselves. Some of us, because of this fear, live double lives, changing pronouns when we speak of the people that we love and have relationships with, creating two or three email addresses and Facebook pages, one where we can be gay and another that permits us to live in illusion. But we can no longer allow one another to do this disservice to ourselves. We have to reach out to the people who we love and remind them that they are not abominations. We have to tell them, if you are sitting in a church where they preach anything other than love and affirming the dignity of all people, and preach against you for who you are, or how, or who you love, you need to get up out of the choir stands, off the usher board, out of the pews, the pastor's lap, or wherever you are, and take your great energy and transgenderize it off as a walk about it. And this needs to be said over and over and over again until we kill hatreds of all kinds at the root. My God is not a God who throws people into hell. I don't live in fear of being the divine being of love and grace which created me perfectly to be just who I am today, standing here in front of you. I am fearfully, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I will not live in doubt of who I am, how I'm made, hate-filled interpretation of God or ignorance. Those who preach this hatred can keep it because I won't be happy. God's love is unconditional, unlimited, and complete. When God got the idea to create each and every one of us, it was no mistake. We have to stand in love and humanity and never let anyone dictate the life that we have to live. We must be free and continue to shine bright until our light reaches the four corners of the earth and beyond that. And now is the time to stand up against hate crime, intolerance, stigma, violence, injustice, and self-loathing. We can no longer be affected by the negativity that we're being fed. We must remember to go the way that our blood beats. And that beat is in love, in joy, healthiness, happiness, unity, and determination to love and be the absolute best that we can be. And never let anybody turn you around from doing that. We face this no matter where we are in our lives, and we have to constantly march on in holy boldness, regardless of to what label anybody puts on us. We have to remember that there are over 7 billion people on this earth and only one of you. That's divine. I'm saying it again, that's divine. Do you get it?
Right.
You understand it? Think about all those other people and they're only one of you.
Amen.
I would hate to have another one of you running around because I don't know if I can handle it. Do y'all realize that? I don't think some of y'all, do y'all realize that?
Yeah.
Can I get an amen in here?
Yeah.
We have to constantly remember that. We can no longer believe or feed the things that prevent us from living our best lives, being our best selves, and finding that good in one another. We must embrace the possibility, hold on to a faith that is firm, steady, and unshakable, and most of all, stay strong, love yourself, and regardless of what you are told or tried to be forced into believing, that you just got to do you good. Amen.
know I had to stand one day and watch mother go home. Glory to God. I stood on the banks of Jordan. Watched the ship of Zion go sailing over. Thank you.
Every day I'm standing here on the dirt. Why don't you do anything to the city church? Just to see you.
Glory, glory. That was a great song coming from Luther Burns and the Red Bud Choir entitled I'm Still Holding On. It is 5 minutes before the hour. You are tuned to the Sunday Morning Praise with Kel. I can thank everyone for joining us this morning. Our next song coming up is coming from Otis Clay, and it's entitled When the Gates Swing Open.
My name above, Lord.
Bring out the best in me. to them, y'all. Jesus, everybody. A few Sundays ago, come on and worship him. Get those hands up, come on and bless him.
Hallelujah. Great song coming from Shirley Caesar entitled You're Next in Line for a Miracle. It is 20 minutes after the hour. You are tuned to the Sunday Morning Praise with Kel. We ask you not text and drive once you arrive safely to your destination. Our next song coming up is coming from Willie Neil Johnson and the Gospel Keynotes. And the song is entitled That's My Son.
Oh, Over now. If I my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ. You are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Go, y'all.
message coming from Donna Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers, entitled The Blessing of Abraham. It is 20 minutes before the hour. You are tuned to the Sunday Morning Praise with Kel. We ask that you visit our website at www.rainbowvoicenetwork.com if you would like to have special requests on song selections or anything. Go to the site and fill out the information on the Webmaster Central, and we'll be sure to get the selection played for you on Sunday mornings. Our broadcast starts from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to join us here. We thank everyone for their support. Our next song coming up is coming from the City Refuge Sanctuary Choir, and is entitled Not About Us.
your feet.
Jesus Christ, who you want to be. See, Christ has given us the victory.